Hello and welcome to the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I am Dave Mamano, your host, and we're here to help you move forward. We'd like to help achievers and business owners and leaders move forward by interviewing Rochester's business movers and shakers. And today I have a great one today. I have on the show a great local entrepreneur, Mark Davitt from Conserve. Mark, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Dave. It's great to be here.
You know what? I just realized you have a great voice for radio. Have you ever done radio before?
I have not, but people have told me radio would be the better alternative than television.
That's a second. Yeah, great face for radio. Yeah. Thank you. I get told that all the time. Well, Mark, thank you so much for your time. I know you are crazy busy. I know you've been on the top 100 for quite a while. I'm out in the lobby waiting for you, and I ran out of how high I can count with the number of plaques you have. How many times have you been on the list now?
We've been on the top 100 14 times.
14 times. Yep. That is so hard to do because people don't realize that you have to continually from a percentage perspective increase revenue.
Correct. The denominator always increases.
So it's not like, so it's, quote unquote, easy to go from, we'll say, 1 million to 3 million, 2 million to 5 million. But when you start doing some big numbers, it is hard to maintain that percentage to be on that list, correct?
It's a challenge.
Yeah.
It's a challenge.
Yeah. So congratulations. I think to be on that list long, especially
thank you very much.
With your growth to continue that percentage. So Conserve, first of all, tell us about Conserve. What do you guys do? Mm-hmm. And then I want to dig into the history and the journey a little bit as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, Conserve is a collection agency, and what that means is we're retained by entities to repair their revenue cycle. Essentially, something is broken down, and the revenues are not coming in, so they retain us to go fix that. And primarily, we're involved in the consumer market, the consumer side of things. Specifically, our highest concentration is in student loans with the United States Department of Education, but we also represent other entities. In fact, most recently, the Internal Revenue Service. That's another client of ours. So we're engaged in contacting individuals in an attempt to understand why they are, where they are, and what they can do to rectify the situation. As I mentioned, I think, Dave, people are in situations where they do not want to be. Nobody grows up and says, boy, when I get old enough, I want to default on my student loan. That's not the goal of many people. People end up in this situation. Bad things have happened in their life, a loss of a job, family tragedies, divorce. It can really change and rock their world. And very often, if people don't know what to do, they do nothing. And that's where we come in. We bring individual solutions to help them get back on track. So in a broad sense, we are revenue cycle correctors for our clients, but then on the human side, on the real one-to-one human side with our consumers, we're problem solvers. We're showing people the things that they can do one step at a time to improve their lot in life.
So we were talking before we were recording that, the collection agencies often get a bad rap because there are some sharks in the business that maybe won't treat people with the empathy and the respect that you're leading with, and it's almost like you're a collection agency, but you're approaching it from like, hey, often throughout life we all fall into holes, mm-hmm. and you're here, so mm-hmm. let's acknowledge that, and but we're here to help you. Let's help you get back on track, whether it's with student loans, the IRS. It could turn out very ugly. Why don't we try to help you get back on track? That seems to be like your approach, coming from a place more of understanding and empathy rather than the shark at the door, right?
absolutely. It's, again, that because we're essentially a black box industry, we're dealing with people's personal and private information. So information comes in, but it cannot go out. So the outside world just has to look and they have to imagine what takes place inside of a collection agency. I know I've gone to cocktail parties And they say, well, what do you do? And I say, well, I'm a professional bill collector. Mm-hmm. And they say, whoa, does that mean you use bats? Do you hurt people? Again, it's very right. misunderstood.
Let alone shark.
that's right. It's very misunderstood. And as I mentioned, the collection agency label means it's an entity. We're an entity where we are collecting money that is not owed to us. So we're a third party, and that's what qualifies. That's what makes someone a collection agency. But to your point of how we approach dealing with people, that's the key to sustaining a successful organization. We run on people. And if people feel that they are doing the right thing, that they are approaching it correctly, you can sustain that.
That's great.
That's what we're all about.
That's great. Love it. So so collection agency with a heart. Maybe that's your tagline.
Well, you know, our tagline, it really is, we are a team of the right people. We're doing the right thing at the right time and the right way. It's very important to us. I mean, in order to continue to grow, that's our sustainability, and to be durable, that's our profitability. We have to do that. It's an environment, it's a culture for our people just as much as it is for the consumers with whom we interact. That's, you know, collection agency with a heart. We like to think of it as ethical operations.
Yeah.
And fortunately, we've been recognized by many different entities for our ethical practice in the marketplace.
Yeah, congratulations. So tell us about the beginnings of the company. Where did it all begin?
Well, it all began many years ago when I was graduated from Hamilton College, and I bought a new car. Well, it was new to me, and it was pretty close to my life savings. It was about $1,400, and at that time, there were two cities in the world. There were two meccas. There was San Francisco and there was Boston. And I said, okay, I'm going to go off. I'm going to take that proverbial year or two off and discover and travel. And I said, Boston is the place because it's closer and it's going to require less money for gas.
And you're from Rochester? Rochester?
I grew up just outside of Syracuse.
Okay.
So I went to Boston, and I was crashing in a BC dorm with a friend who was taking summer classes there. Second night I was there, my car was stolen and stripped, and I was shocked. I had no. Yeah. I thought it was a joke
because
I was
walking
around
the parking
lot. Yeah, it's you know, I called the Boston PD. They said, "Oh, we've been looking for you." I said, "So you're going to fingerprint, right?" And he laughed.
Right.
The desk sergeant laughed. He said, you know, there's 30,000 cars a year stolen here. No, we're not going to fingerprint.
Right.
So then I was in desperate need, actually, to get a job. And there was a little ad in the paper, hey, earn what you're worth. So I said, sign me up for that $145 a week. I am in there.
Good to go.
And it was with a collection agency. And I'd never heard. I had no idea what a collection agency was. Mm-hmm. I had no idea what they did. All I said is, you know, I need a paycheck. I went in there, and I found out what you do is you call people who are delinquent and ask them to pay. So I said, great, I can do that. And I would call people and ask them to pay. And very often I heard stories, bad stories, about where they were. And I said to them, you know, I can relate because here I am stuck and, you know, my car was stolen. I don't have a way to get out of town. So, yeah, I can feel you. I can empathize with you. And so we would try to work something out together that would satisfy everybody. So that was my introduction to the business. I was not really, really good at it. But I was pretty good with people, with interacting with people. And this company actually had a management training program that they started because of me. So I had the opportunity to travel in that business to go from Boston, and I went to Charlotte, North Carolina, went to Columbia, South Carolina, went to Dallas, I went to Denver, I went to King of Prussia, I went to Cleveland, and then finally I opened an office in White Plains, New York, and what a wonderful experience that was. In the mornings, conducting interviews at the Holiday Inn in Elmwood, and then in the afternoon, traveling around with a real estate broker looking for an office. It was just a wonderful, wonderful experience.
That's great. Hey, Mark, we're going to take a quick break for the commercials here. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Automotive, travel, finance, home repairs, fine living, and more. It's Lifestyle Weekends on 1310 WOKR.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 877-660-9974 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 877-660-9974 to take your call now. Call 877-660-9974. That's 877-660-9974. Again, 877-660-9974.
My Bed Back loves my Craftmatic.
My Bed Back loves my Craftmatic bed.
My Bed Back loves my Craftmatic adjustable bed.
These aren't actors. They're real people who sleep better every night thanks to their Craftmatic adjustable bed. Just call 800-410-6118. That's 800-410-6118 for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. Amaze yourself and see how little they cost. Rated number one nationwide on consumeraffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. So if you've ever had a bad night's sleep, wake up sore, stiff, with back, neck, or shoulder pain, call for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. Amaze yourself. See how little they cost. Call 800-410-6118. That's 800-410-6118. 800-410-6118. Call now.
That's what I'm talking about. 1310 WOKR.
We are back to the Bouncy Entrepreneur Show. I am Dave Mamano, your host, and I'm here with Mark Davitt from Conserve. We're hearing about Mark's journey. They are a collection agency, and they strive to be more of the agency that is coming from a place of understanding and helping rather than, unfortunately, sometimes when you say collections agency, you think about the shark at the door, and they're exactly the opposite of that. Mark's telling us about the journey of starting the company and getting the company going, and he was working. Car got stolen, so that's how you first became empathetic to people's misfortunes, and then you started working for a collection agency. You started talking to some of the people, and realizing that each person, obviously didn't intentionally have these problems. You know, people go through life, and they sometimes step in the proverbial doggy poop. And instead of just being the shark at the door, you'd start saying, hey, maybe I could help these people as well. Mm-hmm. Went to White Plains to open up an office and take it from there.
Yeah. Well, it was in White Plains. It was wonderful. I was in the office. I was selling as well. New York was my my territory.
New York City, the whole area.
New York City.
Good market, good market.
Oh, it was, I tell you, it was, it was a great experience, and I got around pretty well. It's you don't see as much double parking today as you right. did back then, but
yeah.
But you do what you have to do. After a while, actually, I was fortunate enough that my girlfriend agreed to become my bride, so that was a wonderful experience. And she moved down with me, and she was working in Mount Kisco. I was working in White Plains, and she became a little dissatisfied with the environment. So we said, okay, let's go closer to home. She's from upstate as well. And I was talking with people at RIT, and they had receivable issues. So I was offered a position as the associate bursar at RIT to go and create a system of improving their receivable, their revenue cycle.
From their student loan perspective?
From the student receivables, yep, from loans and your tuition and fees. So, again, that was a great opportunity. I was able to move up to Rochester and worked at RIT. What a wonderful institution. And I think back to my being there in the 80s, and I drive over to campus now, and what an amazing world. Who was it who said you can count on two things, death and taxes? Well, I think there's three things. Change. It's
the only thing constant is change.
Yeah, it's an amazing an amazing place. And working in academia is just it's a wonderful experience if you have the chance. It's each year you see a new group of individuals full of energy, full of enthusiasm. It's just a terrific. It's an injection of hope and expectations in the future.
Right? Yeah.
Oh, it's just wonderful energy.
Yeah.
And I was at RIT. In fact, I was the assistant hockey coach for the first national championship.
That's a great feather in the cap.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But as the associate bursar, I wanted to do some additional things. I wanted to actually bring some outsourced activity inside. And to the wisdom of the administration, they said, we don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. So it got to the point where I said, well, I'm here. I'm doing the same thing. I think I'm going to go out and do this for a wider population than just RIT. So I said to my wife after our second daughter, she was 2 years old, or I'm sorry, 2 weeks old, and I said, hon, I'm going to resign my position and start a business.
And, how'd that go over?
Well, she stopped. She looked at me, and she said, okay.
Right. Good support. Good support.
Good support, the key. So it was myself. I incorporated the business and started running around, talking to people, saying, hey, let me help you. This is how I'm going to do it.
Did RIT, were they your first client? Did they still need you?
No, the RIT was not, actually. I mean, there was a concern about a potential conflict of interest. So, they were not.
So you started fresh. They were not. You started, like, no clients, and let me just hit the streets.
Started fresh, no clients. I remember my first client was a printing company that actually printed up my forms.
Okay. Do a little barter.
It was challenging. it was challenging. You know,
yeah.
I think my first month's revenue was about $386, and the next month wasn't quite as high. So
right.
It
was the fits and the starts.
It's,
huh?
Yep,
what year was that, if you don't mind me asking?
Say again?
What year was that?
1985.
1985, right. And was it named Conserve back then? Was it
your first name? It's Continental Service Group is the corporation.
Okay,
and we trade as Conserve. The con from Continental, the serve from service, mash them together, and that's how we come up with Conserve. That's also why we pronounce it Conserve,
right,
instead of Conserve.
Right. Yeah.
We do tell our clients conserve your assets with Conserve.
Right. I like that. That could be your take. A lot of taglines going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
So 85. So that is tremendous. So what is that, 33 years in business, right?
What? I got to get my CFO if you're going to start doing math.
I think if my math is correct, you're starting your 33rd year this
correct.
Year. So, yeah.
Yes.
So congratulations. I mean, how many people you employ here now?
Well, there's...
I went to the wrong building, you know. I mean, when I pulled up here, you know, you got multiple buildings in this park, right?
We do. I'm glad you didn't go to Cheektowaga. It would have been
longer. You got Cheektowaga, too.
Yep,
all right.
Cheektowaga, we're in Methodist Hill in Henrietta. We have about 787 employees.
Wow.
Yeah.
And
we're hiring.
And you're hiring. All right. Yes. Go to what's your website if they want?
It's conserve-arm.com. That's conserve-arm.com. And if you're looking for a job, if you're looking for a career, go to conservejobs.com.
Conservejobs.com. Excellent. All right. Good plug. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners are know people that are looking for a career as well. So that's great. How do you, as a guy that, really, I'm going to say, quote unquote, on a whim, said, you know, I'm going to start a business. Mm-hmm. I mean, that wasn't your lifelong dream to be an entrepreneur. It doesn't sound like you kind of were confronted with a situation that made you think about it. Now you're running a large organization, almost 800 people, multiple offices. Are you just naturally a genius when it comes to leadership, or have you learned some things along the way? What are some of those things? What would you recommend beginning and middle stage entrepreneurs to learn regarding being a good leader?
Mm. That's a great question. First, you asked me if I'm a genius at leadership, and I'm tempted to say yes. But we both know the answer is no. And you know what? It is a journey. It's a maturation. It's an education along the way. And it's taking advantage of information. One thing I've learned, and actually it was my father made it very clear to me that you don't have to reinvent the wheel. You don't have to go out and skin your knees and bump your shins all on your own when you can rely on the experience of other people. And like your show, Dave, you're giving such experience to people, and you can build on that. So you don't have to make that same mistake. I think the key is recognizing you can't do everything. It took me a little while, considering I was coming out of I was doing everything environment, but it's so much easier if you have multiple people doing the same thing. Not repetitive, but doing everything that's required to be done in the organization. And over time, it became clear that with the right people in the right position, you can do amazing, amazing things.
That's great. So you went from doing everything to learning how to delegate. I would imagine not abdicating, delegating, and just setting up, as they say, systems to inspect what you expect. And so what do you find your time doing now?
My time, actually, I joke about it, but it's true. I try to get out of the way. Mm-hmm. Now, it is my responsibility to provide the vision of the future. We all have to have a target. If the Cheshire Cat, you know, if when Alice says, "Hey, where do you want to go?" and Alice says, "I don't know," then the Cheshire Cat says, "Well, it doesn't matter where you walk." So I have to provide. My responsibility is to provide the vision of the future. We have a mission that has been established, and that is to take care of our clients, our employees, our suppliers and business partners, the community as a whole. That's our responsibility. That's our mission statement. The vision is what I have to present for the future, as well as the values. And the values are essentially, as we tell people, they're the guideposts. The values are what enable people to make decisions. Every single day, somebody has to make a decision. If you're ever in doubt as to what you should do, you look to our values and let our values serve as those guideposts. So, again, my responsibility is to provide a vision. It's to show people on our executive team, this is where we want to go, paint a picture, and then say, go and do it. You guys work together. I'm not going to provide a job description. There is a responsibility, and the responsibility is in that vision of the future. They do it. Then I provide resources that are required, and as I said before, then I get the heck out of the way.
Yeah. Well, that's great. It's great. They're lucky to have a leader like that, because a lot of leaders, they become the bottleneck in the organization, and they stop growing because they do not get out of the way. Mm-hmm. So that's how you've gone from zero employees to almost 800, by probably recognizing what you do well, but more important, what you don't do well, and just get out of the way of all that stuff, right?
Yes. I mean, that's true, Dave. And who does the work, and who can do the work better, and it's not me.
Yeah. Well, you know, when I had my national magazine, I would always tell my employees that I'm going to provide a great dance floor, great music, disco ball, whatever you need, but you got to dance, right? I'll supply everything else, which is, you know, the vision, the support, the structure. At the end of the day, I can't motivate you. You got to get out of bed, and you got to be, you know, you got to be ready to do a great job. And I'll be there to hopefully support a great culture and workplace environment and engage you. But you got to do the work, right?
Perfect. You're absolutely right. You mentioned something. Maybe I didn't say. The leader's job is also to be the chief culture officer.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so, Dave, you're absolutely right. You have to provide an environment where people want to come to work. They want to do the job. They want to achieve the objectives that are set.
Yep.
And again, if you have a team of people who want to do that, how can you lose?
Well, I love what you're saying. It's so important, and I hope your employees don't take it for granted, because so many leaders of companies, we'll do this culture stuff, but they assign it to somebody else, right? And it's a nice to have. Maybe it's a little fluffy in their mind, like, oh yeah, this culture stuff is cute, you know. But let's go make money. But there's a Sicilian phrase that says that the fish rots from the head down. And if the leader is not drinking the Kool-Aid, like you said, the chief culture officer, then it's just an exercise. People know it. Your team will know it. We're doing this because the CEO assigned somebody to do it. But I don't know if he really believes it. If they don't see you living it, living the core values, living the vision, living the culture, then it's an exercise in futility, right?
absolutely. And I'm guessing you didn't mean to call me a fish. but
if you were a fish, you would have a very healthy head. Yeah.
It comes down to the people, the culture, the environment, as you said, the dance floor. What kind of environment do we create? And celebration is a huge part of what we do every single day, every single month. We have an all hands meeting, and we stream it the meeting live video to all of our offices, and we recognize people for their contribution. But what we also do is we recognize what we have done, the impact we have made on the community and in people's lives. So we go through the numbers of people who we have helped.
Yeah.
So every single month we're reiterating, we're renewing the commitment to our mission of improving people's lives.
That's great, Mark. Awesome stuff. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right here, right back. I'm here with Mark Davitt from Conserve, and we'll be back in a minute.
Join Gordon Deal weekdays from 5 to 9 for America's Morning News on 1310 WOKR.
This is a national health alert from the 24/7 Diabetic Health Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one has diabetes, we have important news. If you lost your supplier or if you need one, you may qualify to receive diabetic testing supplies now with little or no out-of-pocket cost, regardless of your age. All you need is Medicare or private insurance to potentially be eligible. Call the 24/7 Diabetic Health Hotline now for details.
Call 800-373-4379. That's 800-373-4379.
Get free, no obligation information, free delivery to your door, and all the insurance paperwork is handled by our accredited agents for free. Call right now and you will also receive a free pedometer as our special gift to you. Regardless of your age, if you or a loved one needs diabetic supplies and you have Medicare or private insurance, we can help.
Call 800-373-4379. That's 800-373-4379. Representatives are standing by to assist you. Call 800-373-4379.
Reason number 12 why you should own a ThermoSpa's hot tub? They require no attachment to your home's plumbing. Thanks to the ThermoSpa's unique built-in thermofiltration system that filters the water an incredible 144 times a day, you simply fill it with a garden hose and your water stays crystal clear with very little maintenance.
Call to receive your free DVD videos and brochure and find out how you can own a ThermoSpa's hot tub for only a few dollars a day. Right now, they're offering 0% APR financing with approved credit and a $1,250 savings coupon, including free delivery, free chemicals, and a cash discount. And with models starting at $4,995, there will never be a better time to own a ThermoSpa's hot tub. So call now and ask about this limited time offer. Call ThermoSpa's today at 800-956-7179 for your free DVD videos and brochure. That's 800-956-7179. ThermoSpa's, hot tubs designed to improve your life. Call 800-956-7179 today to take advantage of 0% APR financing.
Here's George Foreman with InventHelp.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee a company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-354-9157. That's 1-800-354-9157. Again, 1-800-354-9157.
Finally, a radio station for conversation. 1310 WOKR.
Hello, and welcome back to the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I am Dave Mamano, your host. Got a great guest here today, inspiring me like crazy. If there was a brick wall, I'd run through it right now. Mark Davitt from Conserve started in 1985 as a solo entrepreneur, a guy with a dream. Almost 30 plus years later, I think we said 33 years later, almost 800 employees, multiple locations, even in Cheektowaga. And Mark, I love, you know, what you're talking about, because you're talking about building a company and not what a lot of people talk about when it comes to building a company. Obviously, the finances, the budgeting, the revenue, the sales, all very important stuff. But you're talking about culture. You're talking about the people. You're like the chief people officer and CEO, mm-hmm. right? And it's so important, because we talked about, like, if the leader doesn't really embrace this and drink the culture Kool-Aid, not going to happen, right? Peter Drucker, he said, culture eats strategy for breakfast, right? But when I meet with a CEO and they say, oh, yeah, that culture stuff, yeah, that's cute. You know, I say, it's cute. Well, let's talk about Wegmans, right? What are they, a $9 billion, family grocery store? And from day one, they've always put their people first, because they know that that's going to ripple. When I go to Wegmans and I go to the cheese department, you know, that cheese manager has been to Italy, been to France. And before you know it, I'm buying $20 pound cave cheese, you know, from France, and because they got me so passionate, right? So, mm-hmm. and obviously turning into the profits, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like the heart of the organization. So kudos to you for realizing that. You got a great organization here. Been on the Rochester Top 100 list, 14 years. And I saw walking through the hall some Inc. 5000 awards as well. So
right, 6 years there.
Yep. 6 years. That's very, very tough to do, because it's based on top level revenue growth. And so Mark, yeah, you know, 33 years. What's next? I mean, I know you. A lot of it is you were talking about student loans and some other categories as well. You know, so What's next for you in the company, the next 10 or 20 years? You talk about the vision. What's your vision for where this company can go?
Well, it's in response to the marketplace, a more, better, faster, cheaper. That's what we are focused on as a business entity. More in the sense that we want to provide more comprehensive service to our clients, not to the point of diluting our expertise, but to the point of providing, again, a more comprehensive solution, a more hands-free, a more user-friendly solution. Better, we want to just continue to improve, to become more effective, more efficient for our clients. Faster, it's speed. This is a changing marketplace, and cheaper, we want to not just slash our costs, but we want to increase the value of what we do with our clients. And what's the equation of value? The value is benefit divided by cost, or
right, yeah,
or one or the other. But that's what we're trying to do. In terms of the better, also, we do want to be a bit of a disruptor in the industry. There are better ways to deal with people, to interact with people. I talk to my daughters, and that's a misnomer. I don't talk to my daughters. I text my daughters in response to their texts. Talking on the phone, the written letters, that's changing. And we want to change. We want to make the communication with our consumers easier. To do it in a channel that they prefer. So we always want to get better with that. If it is email, if it is SMS, that's the way that we want to become better, to make it easier for people. That's essentially our responsibility. So more, better, faster, cheaper. That's the objective for the future. We want to look for new clients who will value what we do, who will value the relationship. We've heard the term vendor. We do not want to be a vendor for anyone. We want to be a strategic business partner for our clients. And if we can achieve that, then that's going to be a good relationship. We have no interest in becoming a vendor for an entity.
Yeah. Did you ever think you starting out back in 85 that you'd have almost 800 employees?
No idea. No clue. None whatsoever. It's, I did 2 years ago, I didn't think we would be here. That's not the focus. Yeah. I think that's
a result of what
you're
doing,
right? That is a result of what we do and how we do it.
Yeah. As a company grows, I mean, I could tell you're a people guy. I could tell you like people and don't want to be kind of holed up in your office all day. How do you manage that with so many? I mean, you can't know all of them now by name, but how do you manage the growth while still being kind of like, having a relationship with the team,
Well, communication. I mean, one thing that monthly all hands meeting, that's very important to me.
So you all get together once a
month. Yeah, the entire company. We all drop our pens and pencils, and we go. And if they're here in we call it Building One in Fairport, they all come together. If they're in one of the other buildings in Fairport, one of the other offices, we say, okay, everybody, here's our meeting.
Yeah.
And that's very important to be visible. And to, again, reiterate why we're here, the mission, the reason for our existence, and then how they are doing, the good things that our people are doing. And we also, as I said, you have to put the spotlight on other people. While it's important to me to be visible so that our company, our people know, hey, I'm here. I'm committed. I'm full in on this. You also want to spotlight other people, other members of the team, and they have to share in the accolades. I mean, that's really who deserves it. So, in our different meetings, I mean, they're actually run by different members of our executive team. So we rotate around, and again, it's that visibility of leadership to people, goes a long, long way. In communication, we want to be as transparent as possible. If people don't know the truth, they're going to make up their own truth. So we communicate, I communicate. There's emails that go out because we can't get to everybody personally. But it's communication. It's keeping people up to speed, aware of what's going on at their company. It goes beyond just their job.
Yeah.
It's their future. It's the difference that we're making in the world.
I love it. So, did you get your MBA?
No, I did not.
I didn't either. I mean, but obviously, you're somehow doing it without it, right? So.
I'm managing.
Well, I ask you that because I'm just curious. Where do you go for learning and leadership? Obviously, you've done very well, great leader. Are there books that you've read? Are there groups that you're in? Where do you go to really feed your brain with staying cutting edge as a leader?
Yes, and that's an excellent point, Dave. Never stop learning. You can never ever stop learning. I'm a member of a Vistage group, mm-hmm. and that is that's wonderful. That's a great situation where CEOs can go and they can cry in their own beer. They can actually work their issues. You're familiar with Vistage, where the CEO cannot always complain or confide. Certain matters with their staff, but you can with your fellow CEOs in this in another group. I have a number of friends in the industry, and the friendships have been developed over years. I was the president of our trade association back in 2002, and that was. That was wonderful. I had the opportunity to travel around to many different offices around the country, met many, many different people, and struck up certain relationships. And to this day, we still communicate. We get together twice a year and talk about our issues. And that's never mind the almost weekly emails of, hey, I came up with this. What do you guys recommend? Mm-hmm. But it's always learning, formally, informally, and formally. You have to be engaged, at least in knowing things. You don't have to do everything, but I know our IT staff. I don't want to know how the project enhancements, how you actually do that, but I do want to know, hey, how are we progressing on this? Why are you doing this? Why do you want to do this? To reiterate again, you can never stop learning.
Yeah, InVistage is great. I know the CEO, Entrepreneurs Organization, YPO, a lot of great learning organizations out there.
Yes.
I know a lot of people here in Vistage. It's an investment, right? It's not cheap, but once again, it's an investment. I mean, it's an ongoing learning environment, confidential with other business owners going through similar things. Maybe already have been there and done that, what you're going through, and they can help you, and vice versa. You could help them, which is very gratifying too.
Exactly. Yes, that's it's very powerful, and actually, just to have that collective wisdom, even if no one has gone through the particular situation that's on the table, you still have this group of brain power that can go through and analyze pros and cons of different actions, and it's an amazing. Group of people. It's you talk about an investment. Hey, one idea is worth how much, right?
Oh,
and
yeah.
So you go to a seminar. You say, hey, I'm at this seminar. This is great. It's great. It's some of them are boring, but then you get that one nugget.
Yeah.
And you say, wow, this just made everything worth it.
Oh yeah. Well, EO, Entrepreneurs Organization. I was in it for 13 years, and at the time it was $3,000 to $5,000 a year. Oh, people say, oh, well, that's a lot of money. I say, listen, I give you one idea. Not me, someone in the group. You get one idea that could be worth hundreds of thousands of dollars, or saving you hundreds of thousands of dollars in mistakes. So people have to realize that if it's a good group, good organization. It's not an expense. It's an investment. So I agree with you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Mark, we are almost out of time. I want to ask you quickly, though, if you, if young entrepreneur, imaginary young entrepreneur starting a business, and you have to give them one book to read to help them start their journey, what book would that be?
It would be The Leadership Secrets of Attila the Hun.
Wow. Why that book?
It's a very provocative title, I know, but
yeah.
But it talks about management and people. And it talks about realizing that it's other people who are going to do the work if you're going to be successful, if you're going to be sustainable. I love surgeons. In fact, if I'm going to go to a surgeon, I hope the surgeon's pretty good. But, you know, a surgeon is limited to what they can do by the specific surgery that they perform. They're the only one who can perform it.
Right. Yeah.
Now, if you go into a different business, you have this wonderful opportunity to leverage other people to do things. And that creates a much wider horizon, much wider opportunity for success.
Yeah.
But in the Leadership Secrets of Attila the Hun, he talks about the chieftain will manage the Huns, some of the so basic things that first, never ask someone to do something you wouldn't be willing to do yourself. Second, never put somebody in a position of responsibility where they have not been trained to do that.
Yeah.
You have to train your people for what you want them to do. It's hard to do the work of 10 people, but it's harder to train.
Right. Yep.
But to pay off in the long run, you have to train your people, or in the words of the book, you have to train your Huns.
Right.
And
once again, an investment up front.
It's an investment up front, but it's one of those short, easy, reads, but it just resonates with me, and to this day, it's something I hand out to managers as they're promoted up into AVP levels and to director levels. I give them a copy of that book, and it's. That is the book I would recommend.
I gotta give you credit. You're very unique. I get good to great, etc. The E Myth, Lessons from Attila the Hun. Maybe you don't agree with exactly what he did, but maybe you do. But what a great leader, right? Maybe what a
yes. It's not what he did. It's how he. How he trained his people.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, Mark, thank you so much. We do have to go. This went really quickly. Really appreciate your time. Like I said, I know you're a busy man, so appreciate the hour. And I wish you continued massive success.
Well, Dave, thank you very much. I mean, you're providing very valuable service and opportunities for people, and I am just thrilled to have been a small part of that.
Thank you. A large part, so appreciate that. Mark, if people want to learn more about the company, whether it's just the company overall, employment opportunities, et cetera, where do they go?
Again, it's conserve-arm.com, conserve-arm.com, and it will give you quite a bit of information about Conserve, who we are, where we're going.
Excellent. Mark, thank you so much. Mark Davitt from Conserve. And thank you, listeners. Appreciate your time as well. We do have to go, so thanks for everyone for listening to the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. Last but not least, if you or somebody you know would like to be considered to be a guest on my show, please send me an email at david@davidmamano.com. And that's M-A-M-M-A-N-O. Make sure to check us out on the web at davidmamano.com. Make it a great day. Thanks, David.
Canandaigua's newest radio station, 1310 WOKR.